Hi, welcome to Art Pod. This is the podcast where Michigan Radio talks about some of the best arts and culture stories around the state. I like to think of it as a home and kind of a little hello from us at Michigan Radio to all of you art nerds out there. Today we have got a really cool interview with a guy named Matt Jones. He's an indie rocker slash singer-songwriter guy from Ypsilanti. He's got a little bit of a cult following, and he also has a new album out, which happens to involve a lot of his Civil War obsession.
I mean, I got a tattoo on my arm of Gettysburg just so people would ask me what it was, so I could be like, well, let me tell you, you know, for the next 3 hours.
But first, before we get to Matt, I want to go back a little bit to a story that was, I thought, just cool and different, and it got some press in the papers at the time, but I feel like none of the coverage really did it justice, didn't really kind of sink into what was so interesting about this. What I'm talking about here is when this group of Sundance executives spent about a week in Michigan earlier this fall. Maybe you remember hearing about this. What they did was they held some screenings of movies that had been in Sundance, but they also were doing this kind of deep dive search for up-and-coming filmmakers, especially for people who kind of get underrepresented in film, you know, women directors, indie documentary makers, and especially young minority men and women. So I thought I would go check this out. I stopped by Eastern Michigan University when they were doing a showing of Fruitvale Station to a small crowd of EMU students. And just a quick note, if you have not seen Fruitvale Station, you need to go do it right now. Like, pause this podcast and go see it. Rent it, whatever. It's available. You can download it. You can stream it, anything. Or at least promise me that you're going to take some time and go see it. If you know what it's about, you may be a little bit hesitant because it's tough stuff. It's about the killing of a young black man named Oscar Grant. He was shot by police in a train station in California on New Year's Eve a few years ago. And this became big news because not only was his killing documented and filmed on a lot of cell phones, but he was also unarmed and sitting down at the time. Here's a little bit of the trailer for the movie.
Shots fired, Fruitvale. We just trying to get home.
What is going on?
Get off the train now!
Put that phone away.
Why can't you tell me what is going on? What is the problem? What did you do? Oh my God.
Good, I'm good. I'm good. We're gonna be good. We're gonna be good.
So this is a really beautiful film, but the point is that when the lights go up, it's the kind of movie that you're just so deep in the emotions of it still that you look around at the people sitting next to you in the audience because you feel like you guys just went through an experience together. And one EMU student, a girl named Raquel, told the audience in a Q&A after the movie about how she feels like this is kind of her life. Like, she and her friends get followed around and stopped and intimidated by police all the time in Ypsilanti for no other reason than they're just walking outside at night while being black.
It's always, you know, it's always that one person that's just in the back quiet, like, I ain't saying nothing because I'm going to go to jail. Like, and that's always, I don't know why, but that's always the person that winds up getting antagonized the most. And they started questioning him, like, oh, so you can't speak, da-da-da-da. And we just looking like, you know, it's no point for this to even happen right now. Y'all asked us what we doing. We told y'all. So they was like, oh, so you don't have your ID either? And he was just like, you know, then he started getting upset, like, man, I ain't been doing nothing this whole time. So then they wound up actually arresting him that night. And I was like, wow.
So these kinds of conversations are great, and they really engaged a bunch of the students and got them talking about film and why it's so important. But the screenings were also, I thought, a good thing because they gave these young wannabe filmmakers like Raquel the chance to get career help from actual Sundance staff, including Maura Griffin.
Honestly, anything inside the arts, like, I'm the biggest movie buff you possibly could ever think of.
I think what you need to really think about is what it is, honestly, because film is a really difficult business, right?
Right.
So you have to think about what is it you're passionate about within the industry. You could be, hey, I want to be a director and I want to be a producer, but what does that mean? What kind of producer do you want to be?
So one other real fast thing about this Sundance experience, the Sundance execs also held a roundtable with Detroit-based directors and filmmakers. Also, they brought in some of the artists whose movies were featured in Sundance. And apparently this was a pretty rare thing. Like, you just don't get a lot of opportunities where filmmakers in Detroit get together and talk about what it's like to make movies in Detroit. One of them was Oren Goldenberg. He made the movie, the documentary Old School, I'm sorry, he made the documentary Our School, and he talks about the upsides of Michigan losing its cushy tax credits for filmmakers, which you've probably heard a lot about. For Goldenberg, this means that the city has kind of gone back to its independent movie feel.
If I wanted to live in L.A. and work on big productions, I would have gone to L.A. and worked on big productions. Like, it wasn't a dream. Like, oh, man, I want to live in Detroit where it's not sunny and it's not nice and work in movies. No. Like, it was like this idea that, like, working with Sultan for years, and we used to meet all the time about an independent film collective, you know, and how you utilize Detroit and those built-in locations that, like, you're not constructing. We don't construct sets, you know.
One other thing that jumped out at me from this discussion, and it was actually a little unsettling, not very flattering for Michigan, was that a lot of the filmmakers who were working here with students in the area feel like these young Detroit film students just absolutely lack any kind of work ethic that they will need to be able to go to places like New York and L.A. and actually make it.
You don't find that same competitive nature of, like, I'm going to work hard on stuff to be able to be competitive in this larger pool.
That's generational, though. You need generations before you to have that experience, which New York has had.
Right, and Michigan.
Because it's very hard to break that mindset, because that mindset is ingrained here, and it has been for a very long time. So, like, our parents, they have no idea.
You have a hard time getting kids to come to after-school programs if you don't pay them. Like, there's a lot of, like, programs that's the incentive, is that you'll get a...
I teach at Wayne State, and I agree that with a whole competitive mentality is just not even there. And so just trying to get the students to incite
right.
and be like, look, if you're going to take this and you want to do this in New York, you're going to get eaten alive. I'm sorry.
So the filmmakers you heard from there were Detroit filmmaker Q and Sultan Sharif. Then you heard from L.A.-based Marta Cunningham. She's the director of Valentine Road. And then again from Oren Goldenberg. If you want to check out a little bit more of what Sundance is doing in Michigan, you can go ahead to sundance.org/filmforward. All right, switching gears here entirely. Here is our interview with Matt Jones. Like I said in the top, he's an indie rocker. He's from Ypsilanti. He's got a new album out. And there was a review at mostlymidwest.com that I thought was pretty right on. It says, his new album is at times delicate, dimly lit, and sometimes very beautiful, like a whale breaching the surface of midnight waters in slow motion. So, yeah, there's that. Michigan Radio's Emily Fox, who is in her own right a wonderful musician and beautiful singer, got to talk with Matt Jones when he came into the studio.
The first track off this album is mostly instrumental, and the only lyrics come at the very end, and they are simply, come love, I'll try to be ready, I will be waiting for you. And I understand those words come from a letter written in the Civil War, and you use the instrumentation to kind of invoke the mood of that letter.
Yeah, it was a letter from a man named Sullivan Ballou from Rhode Island who went down to Virginia, and shortly before the first Battle of Bull Run in 1861, he wrote his wife a letter saying, really, just saying that if he didn't come back, he would always be with her. And you read a lot of Civil War correspondence, and a lot of it is just way overhyped, at least by our standards today. It's also really cool to think, God, it would be really nice if we still talked like that, if we actually put some time into it. But it's just a beautiful letter. And actually, he never sent it. They found it in his trunk a week after he was killed at the Battle of Bull Run. So yeah, that was her response to him, and I didn't know any other way than to do that instrumentally.
And I also really like your song called The Darkest Things, and when I first heard it, the music and some of the lyrics sounded like you were telling a folk tale or maybe a fairy tale in some sense. But then I understand that this song kind of drifts away from your Civil War theme and is a little bit of a reflection on your life. Tell me more about this song.
The Darkest Things was the first song written for the album, and it really did allow me to write the rest of the songs on the album. Because when I started writing it, I was really, really just kind of bummed out about what was happening to me, because I was not writing as much music, I wasn't playing as many shows, and I was working a job and not really sure what was going on. And I've always been kind of all or nothing. So when nothing's happening, I just assume nothing's going to happen. I'm done. And so I started writing a song about how I was done. And about halfway through, I was having so much fun doing it and having so much fun writing the lyrics and the melodies and everything that I was just like, you know, I'm not done. And so the song turns around halfway through, and by the end, I'm like off to my next album. So, and it's kind of like, I'm going to keep going, but things are always going to be this dark. And that's okay. It's one way to get through it.
On the trembling lips of age, 15 years have gone, I sing the same. While the words have slowed their rumbling, I'd prefer you for got my name. And let me walk alone, and let me swallow whole all the children whisper when they fall in love.
So we had you on Stateside around a year and a half ago, and during that interview you talked about issues you've had in recent years. You said you kind of got self-destructive for a while, and there was some alcohol abuse, and you got in a car accident as a result. In your latest album, The Deep Enders, you have a song called Hardly Marching. And this song kind of combines both the issues you have faced and you relate them back to this album's theme of the Civil War.
Yeah. Yeah. Hardly Marching is one of those last sort of, you know, unsteady, I'm out of control songs. It's hopefully I've said goodbye to that stuff. But yeah, I mean, it came out of me looking at myself, and it came out of me looking at General Ulysses S. Grant. So people love it when I come out with this stuff, when I tell them what songs are about. I'm being sarcastic. It's we both get a little nuts when we drink, and that. But at the same time, Grant felt a deep connection to his family, to his friends, that he would never sacrifice. And I know that he always felt a little sort of guilt, a little sense of guilt about having to put everybody else around him through things just because he had a weakness. And that was what was behind Hardly Marching. I think, I don't know, maybe I try to relate too hard to these Civil War people, but what else am I going to do?
Forgotten how to say no, hold my hand, you fire your brand, my bed of ice will cool ya, cast you
So you say that you think you've gotten past some of those issues. How are you able to get past issues of using alcohol too much?
You know, I quit drinking for a long time, and I realized during that time that I never did have a drinking problem. I definitely had a Matt Jones problem.
Which means
I didn't know how to deal with myself as who I am. I am crazily stressed all the time, and people can't tell. At least, you know, people say a lot like, oh, God, you seem so, like, low-key and you know, relaxed. And I'm like, well, good, I fooled you. And that's what I've been trying to do for a long time is fool people. And so one really great way to fool people is by getting really drunk and acting like you don't care about anything. And then especially the effects of alcohol can really, you know, can be pretty convincing that you're not concerned with people's feelings. Like you don't care about what's going on in your own life. And that becomes a habit. The drinking becomes a habit, and pretending like you don't care about yourself, that becomes a habit. And that's the destructive thing. That's what I was hooked on, you know. Not letting people help out, not asking for help, and even though I needed it. But so once you figure that out, you don't need to drink as much. It just kind of it's one thing leads to another. So I had a Matt problem, and I think I got over it because now I ask for help. I let people see me tearing my hair out, and they're my friends are probably like, you know, I don't know which one I like better.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the songwriting process. What do you think you get your best songs out of when you're in that stage of, you know, that you went through where you're kind of struggling, or when your head is clear and you don't have a lot to worry about? When do you feel like you get your best songwriting?
Oh, definitely now. Definitely now.
And why do you think that is?
Because when you're really losing it a little bit, when you're looking for crutches like booze or drugs, I mean, you can do those things, but all the time in the back of your mind is what's really going on. You're always thinking about how much you're screwing everything up. And you can't write a song like that. You can't make art like that. I can't. I can't make something really good and really genuine if the whole time I'm just thinking about how bad everything else is. There's no way. You know, like, I have to be as close to happy as I can be, whether or not that's really, really jumping for joy or just kind of still questioning things. As long as I don't have anything to feel guilty about, I can make good stuff. So, yeah, I've tried. I mean, I've made albums, I've written songs while I was losing my mind, and they might sound good, but when I listen to them, I can hear that and only that. And I don't hear that with this album. I hear myself going slow. So if I'm doing that, I know I'm doing something right.
I've been speaking with Ypsilanti's Matt Jones about his new album. It's called The Deep Enders. You can download his album at mattjones.bandcamp.com. All right, that is it from us here at Michigan Radio for this Art Pod. Thank you so much for taking a little bit of time and listening. Go ahead and send us an email with what you think or ideas that you've got for the podcast. And if you know of really great arts and culture and film stories of any kind, send them to us. You can go ahead and you can find that link at michiganradio.org. I'm Kate Wells, and thanks again.
Support for arts and cultural reporting on Michigan Radio comes in part from a grant from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs and the National Endowment for the Arts.